Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, the parable, but also Isaiah 55, and that's where we start. There is a certain giddiness. And if you don't understand this from the parable, you got to look into the Old Testament lesson and then expand to the whole of Isaiah 55. Because if you don't catch the giddiness from these four verses, well, we got to show it, don't we? So, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. It's a celebration of the wonder of the power of the word of God. And if you didn't catch the giddiness from that, we'll just back up to the first three verses of the chapter. Isaiah 55, starting at verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why spend your money on that which is not bread and your labor on that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. There actually was a little folky contemporary song way back when we were in college that used the King James wording for that. And it was fun to sing. And if you don't catch the giddiness from that, well, then just let me remind you about verse 12. You shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills before you shall break forth into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Yeah. Which goes way beyond your normal imagery, doesn't it? That's the background of the parable of the sower, which tells us that the normal way of looking at the parable of the sower may not be all that there is. Four kinds of soil for four kinds of people. And it charts out like this. Number one, along the road, for the hard of heart, where the word of God makes no dent because there is no place for the word, and so the word of God gets snatched away. Number two, in shallow, rocky soil, for those who are excited at first because of the nice things they hear about Christianity. But then when it comes time for discipleship, taking up the cross and following, maybe putting off the good feelings for a little while, that's just too much. And they leave quickly. Number three, among weeds, for the person who hears the word and likes it for a while, but there are too many other things in life. There's money and good things in the world and fun to be had. And when you don't have that, you have worries. And all of that chokes out the word of God. And there's the good soil. For the one who hears and understands, and the Holy Spirit works faith in the heart, and this person treasures the word of God and knows what Jesus means to him and brings forth the good fruit of praise and joy and love. And, okay, I want to look at the parable that way. Because if I look at it that way, I can say, I'm good soil. Me. Those others, the unbeliever with the hard heart, the shallow person filled with worry, the easily distracted by the shiny baubles of life and the things of the flesh. They don't get it, but we are the good soil, right? We are the good soil because we believe. Problem is, sin is sin is sin. There's really no difference between the unbelieving old sinful nature in me and the unbelieving old sinful nature in you and the old unbelieving old sinful nature in anyone else. So I still find my heart hard sometimes toward God's word and unreceptive. And I still struggle with worries and the cares of the world. And I'm still attracted by the shiny baubles of life. The power is not in the heart. The power is not in me. The power is not in the soil, but in the Word of God, in the seed. And every year, our confirmands get to memorize this. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, and so on. See, the Word, it's the Word that changes hearts, and it's the Word of God that changes me into good soil. And the focus of the parable is right there in the first words of the parable. A sower went out to sow. This is Jesus, and the sower is Jesus, and the seed is the words of the gospel, the message of eternal life by forgiveness of sins through his cross, new life by the broken tomb and the rising from the dead, and the field is the world. And the sower went out to sow. And he sowed the seed in all kinds of soil. All kinds. I grew up in western suburbs of Chicago. I didn't learn my even the beginnings of gardening until first call was to Iowa. And you learn something about farming and gardening when you go there. And I learned there that the depiction of a farmer in this parable, this is a lousy farmer. He goes out, he's got this good seed, throws it everywhere. That is not how you do it. Every seed is to be accounted for. Every one of them matters where it's planted. And you don't just go throwing it around onto all kinds of surfaces. That is just plainly, that's wrong. But somebody said that while parables are often called earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, someone else came along and corrected that, and they said, no, no, parables begin as earthly stories, but very soon they run off the rails. And when they do, you say, this is the difference. This heavenly farmer is not like the earthly farmers. What's the difference? And on and on and on it goes. Parable after parable fits that. Okay? So this sower goes out to sow, and he is going to throw the seed everywhere. In the parable, the seed is the Word of God, and the sower is Jesus, and he throws the preaching of the Word of God everywhere. So what if the response doesn't happen? It may not happen right now. Is that going to stop him? The sower keeps on sowing. See, this sower has enough extra of the preaching of the Word of God, the proclaiming of the gospel. He has an unlimited resource of the words of the gospel and the preaching of the Word of God to get to human hearts and souls. So what if some doesn't take root right away? He's going to keep on sowing and sowing and sowing, and his plan is that he's going to cover the entire world with his words of salvation. And if it doesn't take root the first time, he's not going to stop sowing seed until the end of the world. So, what does it look like? Everywhere you look, everywhere in the world, the sower is sowing. There is not a spot of soil, there is not a human heart that he is not working on. Maybe it won't grow this season, but there's always next year. In your life, the sower is sowing, and when he sows his seed, what actually happens is that the seed of the Word of God, the proclaiming of the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ, that begins to change the soil. And the seed goes to work, and it works, and it works, and it works, and the sower comes back with more seed, and more seed, and more seed, and breaks up the soil until something takes root. And the reason why it works that way is because in his word, there are promises. There are promises of forgiveness of sin. There are promises of eternal life. Today you shall be with me in paradise. There are promises of the grace of God. Because I live, you will live. There are promises over and over and over again. And those promises begin to take root and grab a hold of us. See, it's not us, good soil, holding on to the seed. It is the seed that begins to work through the soil and take a hold of it. And when the eternal Word of God is there taking a hold of your soul, what does that make your soul? Eternal. When the eternal Word of God promises you forgiveness, how long does that forgiveness endure? Forever. When the Word of God promises rising from the dead and living forever, how long does that rising from the dead and living forever last? Forever. And for every human being, the message is life by the Son of God, life by the work of the cross, life by the brokenness of the empty tomb. And the Word of God works and begins to mix the metaphor, begins to tune our hearts differently so that our hearts are able to hear that Word of God. It transforms us so that we are able actually to find those promises in the Word of God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are changed. And we look into those words and we hear those promises and we know the forgiveness of sins. Let me give you two illustrations. Both of these from the Bible, of the sower coming back to sow again and again. The first one is when Jesus crossed over the lake to Gennesaret. And there at Gennesaret, there was a man with a demon, actually legion. And Jesus cast the demons out. They went into the herd of pigs, ran down the slope, drowned in the waters. and the people of that area, they came around and they were afraid and they asked Jesus, please leave us, go away. But if you keep on reading the Gospels further on, for the next time Jesus went over to Gennesaret, as soon as he got out of the boat, word spread, and from all the towns around, they're coming to see him and bring the sick and listen to his words. The second illustration is even more famous. See, there was a man who hated Christianity and hated a fellow named Stephen. And when the time came to assassinate, murder, kill, martyr Stephen, he was the one that was going to watch over the cloaks of those who threw the stones to stone Stephen to death. And from that point, from that day, a persecution arose, and he went all over the place arresting Christians, bringing them in chains to prison. And time again, he would hear from the Christians, what do you believe? We believe in Jesus who rose from the dead. Over and over and over again. And the seed is sown and sown and sown and sown. Until one day he's riding on the road to Damascus. It's time for the sower of the seed to step in himself. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. And the seed takes root, grabs a hold of his heart and soul, and he is changed and begins to preach Christ. We know the truth of this, of the seed tuning our hearts to the proclamation of the gospel. It is the Word of God that does it. The Word of God given to us by Jesus. And when that seed takes root by the power of the sower, Jesus, by the power of the Word, the produce comes. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. And then a transformation takes place because now we are the ones bearing seed, and Jesus takes us and sends us out into the world. Go, throw the seed everywhere. Don't worry about whether it grows that first time. That's the business of the sower, of Jesus. Just throw it everywhere. Tell it to souls that haven't heard. Tell it to souls that have heard. Tell it to your fellow Christians to further tune their hearts to hear the promises. And when we get that idea and head out throwing that seed of the Word of God everywhere, here we go, looping back to where we began. There is a certain giddiness. And this is just plain fun. In Jesus' name, amen.